to Food Forest Walk, a podcast about permaculture-designed food forest ecosystems. I'm Leah Levice, reminding you that this is a slideshow. You can see the plants that are mentioned in your Podcast 2.0 app. Go to podcastapps.com to download your new modern podcast app and get the most out of this podcast.
Well, it's a wonderful June morning in Austin, Texas. My name is John. I'm here with...
Josephine.
And...
Vincent.
And a whole lot of chickens. This morning, we're going to do a small plant walk and go through some of our favorite plants. All right, let's start over here this morning. We have quite a few exciting things in a little microclimate. Anybody want to start out by explaining what we're looking at? What is this?
That's a peach tree.
That's right. We have a wonderful little dwarf peach tree. And does anybody remember how many peaches were growing on this year?
Lots. No. But the squirrel took most of them. We only got one.
That's right. Well, at least we had the freshest, most wonderful peach this year from our peach tree. And maybe we'll make some peach tea with the leaves here in a bit. But...
We just put a fence around the peach tree while it makes peaches.
That's a very good idea. I was thinking squirrel catapults, but that's a much more peaceful way to go about it. Well, a few pointers. We have the peach tree under large and overgrown now cucumbers. And if you look down in the shade of the cucumbers, we have some... avocado trees that were started from seeds. They won't survive in direct sun. They're kind of like our little banana tree down here on the other end. It's just too hot and too arid, but when the humidity's right and they're in a microclimate, they thrive. If you look over here, Josephine, do you remember the name of this plant? Let's not touch it. Let's only look. You have to respect it. That's a castor bean plant. And it's very beautiful, but it's poisonous, so you never want to touch it, okay? Just look at those pods. They're such an elaborate design. There's just it's amazing. It's hard to believe it's real. Just be careful. It's a wonderful addition. Supposedly it'll keep the mosquitoes down. We'll find out here in a couple months. But beautiful, but just stay clear of it for the little ones. Let's move on over. And does anybody know what all of these vines coming out of the ground are from?
No.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with tomato.
Potato.
That's right. These are all fantastic for ground cover because look how much they're providing shade to the soil. The soil doesn't want to be cooked by the sun, and this potato plant does a good job covering it up. It's covering our whole walkway. We'll have to come out here and do some coaching to help it go the appropriate direction. What's next to this one? Does anybody know what this one's called?
Turk's cap.
Yeah, that's a Turk's cap. And they have the little red flowers on top that are edible.
Yeah, see that one right there?
Yeah, I see it. Those little flowers on top are edible, and they taste kind of like a honeysuckle. I don't know how else to describe it. Yeah, does anybody see?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Like we ate some.
Yes, we did.
Very delicious and sweet.
And very sweet. Yeah, the Terps cap makes a good little environment. It covers, it does well here in Texas, even in the heat.
Like a little
Yeah, those flowers are from the Texas sage bushes, and those are also providing a big part of the climate.
And they also, I'll tell them something, they also hug your nose.
They can hug your nose, that's right. So these Texas sage bushes are providing shade for all of these plants.
Yeah, even the flowers.
The flowers love being in the shade. And these right here, this is actually a blue corn.
Blue corn, yes. I love blue corn.
Well, that's going to get very tall. Let's walk down. And this is kind of a fascinating experiment. We have a cherry tree.
Even have a flower that hugs your nose again.
Yep, those are morning glories.
Yeah.
We have a cherry tree. We
have cherry trees.
A banana tree. We have the olive tree. In the front portion of the little food forest, it's segmented into two areas. One area is a little bit higher. The other area, designed to catch the water, is where the plants that like to have moist roots and not the arid conditions. But let's see. The lemongrass, I can't believe it's taller than you. How much taller is that lemongrass than you? About a foot?
About a foot.
Yeah. Yep, it's amazing. If you look, the lemongrass is so tall, it's actually providing a limited canopy for mint, potatoes, and it looks like pole beans and purple pole beans. There's an arrangement of things that are growing under the lemongrass. You're looking at peppermint, and the peppermint is actually going into its flowering stage, and it's making a bunch of little seeds, and they're so fragrant. It's amazing.
It's planting things.
Yep, they're going to fall back down and self-seed into the ground. Right next to this amazing mint plant, there's actually lemon balm. And then tucked away, hiding, is a little cutting of an elderberry plant. It's really fun. Elderberry, figs, grapes, each of those that you see taking over this area, they were all just from a deliberately picked cutting from a healthy tree placed in the soil, attended to, not too hot, not too dry, not too wet, all the right conditions, and they rooted, and they're thriving now. So this elderberry is almost 9 feet tall, and it was planted about a year and a half ago, and it's providing a lot of privacy. It actually helps the area feel cooler in the morning. I don't know if that's just a psychological thing, but the birds seem to love it as well. You see the environment the fig is making here? The fig is actually growing along with the passion flower. So we have our figs with the passion flower next to it. And I don't know if you remember, but last year there were so many butterflies in this area. Between that and the milkweed plants that are also flowering, there were just so many beautiful, I mean, a variety of everything, bees and butterflies.
Yeah.
Now,
it's so awesome.
Do you remember what these are called?
No.
This is almost my favorite new plant, only because I started growing it last year. These are the amaranth plants, and I didn't realize how well they would do in the Texas climate in the middle of the summer when they were otherwise being shown no love, basically. They would just thrive. They were super tall. We had some 14-foot vibrant purple amaranth plants that were just towering. So, and it's a superfood in terms of the grain if you add it to your cereals and morning routines. But look under the corn. Do you see the blue corn canopy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josephine found another amaranth plant that's fallen over, but it's still determined to thrive. They are everywhere. You found five of them. Yep, and they're all taller than you. That's all right. Even though the roots are showing, it will still do amazing. But let's not disturb it. Let's leave it there, please. Can you come and look at the rest of the plants in this little microclimate? We actually have common sage, which is very popular in Texas. It does really well in the heat. Well, there is a strawberry in there too, but it's kind of hiding out. Well, those are the amaranth. So there's the blue corn. Yes, sir. That's right. So look, there's actually going to be a colorful arrangement of things that are going to come out of this. We have blue corn. We actually have an orange variety of okra, which is kind of fascinating. Look, the sweet potato vines, which just like the potatoes we were looking at earlier, they're going through the whole yard and basically making it to where anywhere the sunlight would otherwise hit the soil, the vines are growing instead. They're a very significant portion of ecosystems and particularly microclimates if you're trying to grow things close together. And obviously, these are growing over things too, so we'll have to come in and take care. But the corn, the okra, these are about to just bloom straight through the top of all of these vines. And
do you know what these it should look seeds fascinating. Are called?
Yes, those are black beans. Those just came out of a pole bean plant. So they're at the perfect.
Sister has a pole bean.
Yes, when the outer bean pods are dark purple like that, and the inside is dry, and it's just beans, we can save those and plant them next year. So being that we grew these and these are heirloom, let's set these in a container inside and we can save them for next year and grow more.
I have one more.
You do. If you left those beans unattended to hanging on that fence line, in nature, sometimes they'd get eaten by animals. Sometimes they'd fall to the ground slowly as the pod decomposed, but they would generally grow there next year.
Make holes in these little leaves right here. They bite through them like crazy.
Well, that's all right. We could take those leaves that don't look beautiful and give them to the chickens. That's one way to make sure they don't go to waste. Did anybody see the grapes? They are going to have seeds in them, but there's green grapes.
Yes.
This fig tree was started from one cutting, deliberately placed in soil in memory of some chickens that we had lost. Here is some squash. Look at these squash plants, Vincent. It's just like the pumpkin and watermelons. They're a vine as well. It's trying to climb into the fig tree. It's like, hey, you guys, I found the sunlight. And then citronella. I think the mosquitoes in Texas are acclimated to it, but it looks beautiful and I love the smell. Yeah, the lizards love being in the area too, which is kind of fascinating. You'd think if it was repelling all the bugs, the lizards wouldn't want to be under it. But let's see. Does anybody remember what the fennel and the dill plants that we planted, fortunately not too close together, were a host plant for? What was on the dill plant earlier this year? Do you remember what was growing on that plant earlier this year?
Caterpillars. They were growing right everywhere.
Oh, they loved it.
There were four last night.
They loved it as much as me.
You couldn't even eat all the dill and the fennel you wanted because the caterpillars were taking the leaves over.
It also tickles my nose.
It does tickle your nose. Well, if you look behind those plants, there's some lamb's ear. They're a little soft leaf. They'll take over. They don't like to be in humid places, though, so we may have to move it. That's one of those plants that, because there's such a hairy surface on the leaf, if you keep it in humidity, it can get funguses growing on it. Oh, we didn't even think about looking at the papayas because they blended in with the sunflowers. And they're the same height. Look at this. These two papaya trees, we always want to grow them in little groupings, are the exact same height as the sunflowers that are growing next to it. And I have to call attention to one thing here. Does anybody see what's happening at the top of this sunflower? But what are they doing specifically?
Eating the sunflower.
No, actually, look closer. They're preoccupied. They're not eating the plant. What are they doing? Look.
Isn't that larva?
Well, those look like larva. That's right. But an ant is not prone to bring its larva up to the top of a plant. They like to put their eggs or larvae. They want to put whatever they're going to maintain for their little colony somewhere deep down in the ground or under a log or someplace safe, not out in the open. These ants are farming. They can't eat this plant, but those little aphids that they're carrying around, if they bring aphids to the plant, the aphids eat the plant.
Yep.
And then we have some elderberry clones, which were taken from cuttings.
Elderberry. I love elderberry.
Yes.
I eat it every day.
Well, I think you did for a while. And here's our olive tree, which is also still in a planter because we're not quite sure where we want to have it when it's all said and done. Oh, look back here. I forgot we even had these. There's the blackberry plants, and then there's the golden raspberry plants.
Golden raspberries. I love looking at golden raspberries.
We also have these plants down here. Do you see these little plants hidden away?
Look,
it's the plant that provides the drug of choice for so many people worldwide. That's a coffee plant. Yes, that's a beautiful flower. Yep, be careful. Don't try to smell too hard. You'll inhale it. But look, do you see this coffee plant? It's a little coffee
yeah,
plant.
I see it.
Yep, we're doing shade grown but indirect light, and they're doing fantastic. Do you want to do a quality control check on this basil plant? I just picked one leaf and it's like, oh my goodness, very, very fragrant. That's just amazing. And that basil plant is growing under our moringa trees. There's a few in a bucket because they're going to be massive. They can grow 32 feet in 1 year under the right conditions. Yep. This tree that's about 7.5 feet right now in the middle of June in Austin, Texas, give it 2 months, it'll be 30 feet tall. So it's just amazing.
I hope you enjoyed this walk around our tiny food forest in Austin, Texas. Each time I walk around our property, I am amazed by the myriad of plants that are growing. That's all thanks to John's care and passion. Thank you, JVL. I am so grateful for you. I'm a bit late, but I want to wish you and all the dads out there a very happy Father's Day. I just have one question. Why are ants farming aphids? Here's what I found on backyardpests.com. Aphids feed on the sap of plants and secrete a substance called honeydew. This sticky resin is a favorite food of ants, who actually milk the aphids for it by stroking their abdomens. In return, ants protect aphids from predators and move them to new food sources. Aphids are bad for plants. This makes the combination of ants and aphids deadly to many plants. How do you get rid of ants and aphids? Here are a few suggestions. Inspect your plants and trees regularly for signs of aphid infestation. Aphids are usually found on flower buds and growing tips. As soon as you see any aphids, put gloves on and pick off all the aphids by hand. Throw them in a bucket of soapy water to kill them. Grow plants in your yard that aphids hate, such as marigolds, garlic, onions, leeks, chives, cilantro, and catnip. Cut banana peels into pieces and bury them in the soil around the plants that aphids are attacking. Use a hand sprayer and spray plants with a strong spray of tap water to knock aphids off. Attract aphids' natural predators to the yard, like lacewings and ladybugs. If a branch is heavily infested with aphids and you can't seem to kill them off, cut off the branch and feed it to the chickens. Thanks for joining this walk. This is Leah Levice, and I'll see you at the food forest.